We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
With the eighth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, Washington.
I'm feeling good. I'm excited for the opportunity. You know, I'm blessed. You know, I've been through a lot to get to this point, but.
Sports Radio 92 on the game. It is day three of the NFL draft, and we have live coverage from noon to four with Bo and the Squidbilly, Bo Morgan and Mike Johnson, coming up for you. A number of picks left for the Atlanta Falcons, as a matter of fact, as they have four more, at least at the moment, short of trades, and we'll see what they add to what they have already taken away from this NFL draft, and a lot to react to. So you've heard the experts, and as you know how I run this show, you know, I could put all the experts on. Sam and Greg did a good job of, you know, rolling through our experts. Dave Archer certainly knows all these people that know so much about football. You've heard from them. Now I want to hear from you. And welcome for the next couple of hours. You are the guest. There are no experts except you, because I want to hear what you have to say. Because all these experts, they come out there, they say, oh, this is how I grade this, and this is how I grade that. Well, okay, they're sort of, you know, they want to claim that they're dispassionate. Of course, they're not. The media, I'm a dispassionate analyst of what's going on in the world. No, you're not. You're in the media. That automatically means you're not a dispassionate. Okay, anyway, so they try to tell you that they are just analyzing from a cold, hard standpoint of exactly what, and I think that, you know, sometimes their analysis is just way off. I mean, because you can analyze the Michael Penix pick, as Bleacher Report did, and called it an F, or as CBS Sports did and called it a C, which is the lowest grade that CBS Sports gives out for some reason. I don't know, maybe they don't want to offend people's sensibilities or something, but they don't give a grade lower than a C. It's the lowest grade. It's like grading on the curve or something, you know. Anyway, it's the lowest grade. It's essentially CBS Sports' F. And they both gave it an F, and you may give it an F too, which is fine. I always say we can disagree without being disagreeable. I can only tell you this. As we get to your calls today at 404-726-0929, because I want to hear what you have to say, not just about Penix, but about the other two picks, because I was frankly a little bit more surprised by what they did in round two. Because I did not have Rukaroro on my list. It's just, I didn't. I'm not saying he's not going to be a great player. He just wasn't on the list. And not only was he not on the list, they traded up eight spots to get him. Now, again, from draft strategy standpoint, you know, can you argue that they know what they're talking about? We have to put full faith and credit into them and say, well, you know, this is Jimmy Lake's defense. It's Raheem Morris. He knows what he's talking about. They scouted all these guys, all these remaining interior defensive tackles, because once they took Rook, seven more defensive tackles came off the board in the second round. And if they valued Rook ahead of all the other guys that were taken, which obviously they did, because they were willing to part with pick number 79 to get up to pick number 35. Because when they went up to 35, I thought, oh, this is for Cooper DeJean. They're going to go at the Iowa cornerback, and they're going to solve that issue. Well, DeJean kept falling and falling and falling, and I went, oh, okay. Or Kool-Aid McKinstry or something, because as we sit here today with four more picks, the Atlanta Falcons could use some help in the secondary. But any help they get from this point on is either going to have to exceed the expectation of the experts and the analysts in terms of what they project those players out to be. And sometimes that happens, by the way. You could just look at recent history of the Atlanta Falcons, guys that were fifth round or later. We all know about Grady being a fifth round pick. Taquan Graham was a fifth round pick. Foye Oluokun, I believe, was a seventh round pick. I mean, so some guys do exceed expectations, and they miss on people. Even the smart analysts who know what they're talking about, they miss on guys. Everybody does, right? We all understand that. It's the Tom Brady effect. So, you know, what we're going to get a guy who's going to come in and compete for a job today. You know, somebody like a TJ Tampa or somebody like that is going to come in and compete for a starting job. That doesn't necessarily say, okay, we're going to go target. That's why I said, and apparently, obviously, I was wrong, that they were going to target Quinyon Mitchell with the number 8 pick, the number 1 cornerback available in the draft, to sit opposite A.J. Terrell, because to me the biggest hole on the team going into the draft was the other corner. It's become the new version of the left guard, where you're trying, well, we'll try Okuda, we'll try D. Alford, we'll try Clark Phillips. You know, I mean, they can't find another guy to run alongside A.J. It's sort of they couldn't find somebody forever to run alongside Chris Lindstrom at the other guard spot. So we'll see what they do today. You know, you would think they'd be targeting defense, but at this point, I got no clue. I got no clue. You got no clue. Did you have these guys taken? Okay, Michael Penix Jr. We're going to have two guys from Washington in the first three picks. We're going to have a quarterback in the first three picks, and we're going to get a defensive tackle whose name that 99% of Falcons fans, including me, had to struggle to pronounce because we didn't pay much attention to Rucaroro when he was playing defensive tackle at Clemson. We just didn't. I mean, they did. We didn't. Now, you know, he could turn out to be a phenomenal pick. Everybody seems to think that Braylon Trice is an extreme value pick for the Falcons because they start pointing at – it's interesting. They point at numbers sometimes, right, and say, okay – you know, you can't worry about his measurables. You have to look at his numbers, his production. And I'm a big fan of that, by the way. I call it the Terrell Suggs syndrome. Terrell Suggs went from Arizona State, where all I saw him do at Arizona State, and I saw him in college a lot, make play after play after play after play after play, goes to the combine, runs like a 4.8. And everybody, oh, my God. He goes back to Arizona State on his pro day and runs like a 4.9. And oh, my God, forget it. You know, we're out. And I said, yeah, all he ever did in college was make plays, and Baltimore took him, and all he did was make plays. And that's all Braylon Trice did, okay? He doesn't have the measurables as some of the others, but he made more plays in terms of, you know, pressures and sacks and everything than Latu did. I mean, he's just got a motor that doesn't quit. Now, how that translates, I can't know, you can't know. Hopefully it does. Do you think the Falcons, you know, based on what you've seen, how are you grading this so far? You don't have to give it a letter grade. You can just say you're happy or not happy. I imagine most people aren't. And of course, there is the argument on the other side against the analysts who said that the Michael Penix Jr. pick was such a disgrace that it was an F, that it was a fail of a magnitude of 100. And that's fine. You could do that. I'm just saying maybe you ought to balance it by looking at the flip of it. You know, just at least acknowledge that there could be a reason. When you say it's an F pick, like Bleacher Report did, are you saying it's an F pick only because of the need of the team and the timing of the pick, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about. The need of the team and the timing of the pick. You're not saying he's an F player, are you? Because that, to me, is not an honest analysis. Michael Penix Jr. was the number 2 player on the Falcons' board. And the Falcons have been, if they've been one thing in Terry Fontenot's existence as the general manager of the Falcons, it's true to best player on the board. Last year, Bijan Robinson was their number 2 player on the board. They took a running back. You know, they took a tight end when everybody says, oh, you can't take a tight end that high, because he was the number 2 player on the board. They took a running back. Well, you can't take a running back that high, because he was the number 2 player on the board. Well, you can't take a quarterback. You already got one. It was the best player on the board. Number 2 player behind Caleb Williams on their board. And they went, this is why they went to all the trouble to go to Seattle. We talked about this last weekend, you and I. Why would they take everybody and go to Seattle? Because they had to make sure, wait a second, are we right about this? They go to Seattle, it's 50 degrees, it's raining and windy, and Michael Penix is dropping dimes. And they went, okay, okay, guy's going to be a star. And unlike the other five quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks, Michael Penix has a luxury they don't. He can cool his heels a little bit and learn and watch the game and let it come to him, because he can learn under Kirk Cousins, right? He doesn't have to be forced out there like Bryce Young did to run for his life as a rookie. So, I mean, I guess there's something to be said, trial by fire, I get that. But there's also something to be said for, oh, my God, you know, I'm screwed up because I, you know, like, is Justin Fields ever going to be the player because of the what he had to go through in Chicago when he was running for his life for 3 years? So a lot to get into. But, again, we've had heard from the experts. You've heard from the host. You've heard from me. And I want to hear from you. So how are you grading this so far? Are you happy, unhappy? If you're a Falcons fan for the next couple of hours, 404-726-0929, as we get into all of your reaction to the Falcons draft. Where do we want to begin? Noel White is running the show, and maybe kinder when you call in. Noel, where do we want to start today? All right, Sean. Hey, Sean, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing? Glad to talk to you today. I'm just going to be honest. When the pick was made on Thursday, I basically turned off the draft and went to watch Grey's Anatomy. My daughter, 16-year-old daughter, came up to me after the draft and said, you're looking at this in the wrong perspective. She suggested to me that this was a pick for the future in reference of we got the contracts of Drake, Kyle, and Bijan will be coming up in a couple of years. And this was a way of preparing the quarterback position for the future. And when she put it to me that way, it made sense. So I'm on board with it. You know, I'm going to rhyme with it. I'm hoping that he can learn under Cousins. And going forward, we're going to have the same situation you just had with the board after Matt Ryan. When it goes to the other two draft choices, I'm good with those as well. We need a defense. We got a DN. We got a D tackle. You know, rise up. Let's get ready to do it.
Rise up, get ready to do it. Thank you, Sean. 404-726-0929. John Fricke with you. A couple of hours of your reaction before we get to you to a live coverage of rounds 4 through 7 with Squid and Mike Johnson coming up at noon today. Again, I want to be clear here because clarity is also important to me. I want you to understand that as I make the argument in favor of, and the only reason I'm making the argument in favor of is I put up a poll, and of course the instant knee-jerk reaction was 90% were beside themselves with absolute anger. And if you are, that's fine. I'm not saying I'm right here. I'm only trying to make the other case. I'm ambivalent towards this pick because the biggest issue I have with the pick is my fundamental belief of parades over prospects, okay? And the Falcons are a team that I believe is ready to possibly jump into a parade. When I say parade, I'm talking about making, you know, winning the South and doing stuff. And a team that had some needs in other places. And frankly, Michael Penix at the moment remains, for the next couple of years, a luxury prospect. Now, again, 3 years from now, you know, the only thing that I can tell you is, and I mentioned this yesterday with Harper LaBelle, and with Joe Patrick, is that when I was teaching, you know, broadcast journalism, I taught for a little while. One of the things I would tell the students is there's a sin in television and radio broadcasting if you're telling a story. And the sin is to end the story, and you'll hear it occasionally if you listen for it, what's going to happen next, only time will tell. Never ever say only time will I'd fine you, I'd suspend you if you ever said only time will tell. Of course, everything in life, only time will tell. How's this show gonna end at noon today? I don't know, only time will tell. When we get to noon, it is the biggest cop-out of all time. Of course only time will tell. So you don't ever say it because it's obvious. It's everybody gets it. Everybody knows it, right? So only time will tell if Michael Penix turns into, you know, 6 years from now, we're regrading the 2024 NFL draft. Oh, my God, the Falcons get an A++, you know, because of Michael Penix. Who knows? Or the Falcons get an F because of Michael Penix. Who knows? Oh, of course, only time will tell. But there is a case to be made in favor of Michael Penix. And the case is, simply, I think, comes down to this. 2 years ago, the Atlanta Falcons had the noodle-armed quitter and DoorDash Dez. That was their quarterback room. It was the worst quarterback room of throwing, you know, hand grenades in the rain, everything in the rain in Charlotte, right? The hand grenade pop up in the rain in Charlotte, and then the DoorDash Dez with the worst, you know, pass I think I've ever seen a Falcons player throw in the rain at Carolina. I don't know. Let's quit playing in the rain at the end of the year there, I guess. They had the worst quarterback room in the NFL. As we sit here today, you can make an argument the Atlanta Falcons have the best quarterback room in the NFL. Make that argument. From a two-deep standpoint, maybe even a three-deep if you're including Taylor Heinicke, who's got quite a bit of starting experience. It's pretty good. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying you can at least make the argument. You know, well, you know, John, Kansas City's got it because of... Well, okay, that's fine. I'm just talking about from a room standpoint. Because remember, the other five guys that were taken, they all have to start. Penix doesn't. 404-726-0929. We go to Chuck. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the show. Chuck?
Hello? Oh, not Chuck. This is Andrew.
Oh, hi, Andrew.
hey, John. So I think, you know, my argument is you know, again, kind of like you said, I'm ambivalent to the pick, but it's just it's not a position of need, first of all, right? You sign a $100 million guaranteed quarterback for the next 2 to 4 years, and when that signing happened, everybody on this station, everybody on in media is saying, right, that the Falcons are going for a win now mode. You've got 2 to 3 years to win a Super Bowl by paying Kirk Cousins this money. But then you don't use that number 8 pick on something that will improve the team over the next 2 years. You're, like one caller said, working for the future. So what I'm trying to figure out is, how does Terry Fontenot know that he's going to be there in 3 years? What if this falls apart and Kirk Cousins doesn't return from this injury as good? What if Michael Penix isn't as good as everybody thinks? That's a big reach to say that we're planning for the future when in, what, 1-2 years you're going to have to decide on paying, you know, the number 4 pick in a tight end in Pitts. A year after that, you're going to have to pay Drake London money. And then a year after that, Bijan Robinson. By that time, you expect Penix to start playing. So essentially, you've got a rookie quarterback 3 years from now. If everything goes well, that means he doesn't play for 3 years, and now you've got a quarterback who hasn't played in 3 years, and you're hoping that he's just going to be the guy that he was 3 years prior. So I think that the whole thing about the future is a terrible argument. It doesn't make any sense to say that we're planning for the future, and we know that we're going to win enough over the next few years that we're not going to be picking that high, or using the excuse of the possibility of this, you know, penalty from the NFL. I think those are all just terrible arguments. It doesn't take into account that the Falcons should be in win now mode by signing a veteran quarterback coming off of that injury. To me, it just doesn't make sense. I'd like to hear, you know, your thoughts on that.
No, I look, there's no, I can't dispute this, Andrew. I simply can't. And you know, I can't dispute that it is, again, I'm a parades over prospects guy. That's what I just said. And Michael Penix is a nice little luxury prospect. The argument in favor of it that I'm hearing, and some of it is logically, you know, makes sense. You do have the best quarterback room now in the NFL, potentially. You have, anything happens to Kirk Cousins, this guy's going to get they're going to ring his bell. They're not going to ring Heinicke's bell unless it's before the season. And Heinicke might start the season, but eventually you're going to have to go and turn to this guy. So if you believe and you went out to Seattle and you say this guy's got superstar written all over him, it's the model that the Green Bay Packers used. I mean, let's just talk about Brett Favre with Aaron Rodgers with Jordan Love. Some people said Montana with Young, but Steve Young started for at least in the USFL.
But Jordan Love was picked. Football. Wasn't Jordan Love picked in the second round? He wasn't picked at number 8.
I'm not arguing with you here. I mean, I'm not. Yes, I mean, could you have traded down and gotten Michael Penix? Maybe. I mean, I doubt it. I mean, you had Minnesota sitting there. Of course, they took a quarterback, Denver and Las Vegas. And unless you could have swung a deal with Denver, look, they were in love with him. Okay. They got googly eyes on this guy. I mean, that's all I can tell you.
I get it. As long as, like I said, Fondo's pretty confident that he's going to be there in 3 to 4 years. We just know that he's been there for 3 years, and you've had 7 and 10 seasons each year.
I don't know. You can't talk. I see. That's where I'm going to disagree with you. I think 7-10 was an overachievement the first 2 years, and an underachievement.
What about last year? And let's not forget.
Underachievement.
Sorry, one last thing. I think Arch earlier said that, you know, all Michael Penix did was win in college. I seem to remember another guy that won a lot in college at a small school called Desmond Ritter. That didn't work out too well.
All right, do appreciate it, Andrew, 404-726-0929. As we take a quick break, your reaction here. And again, I'm not arguing with you because there's nothing for me to disagree with. Maybe calling it an F pick, I think, is a little strong. On Sports Radio 92 on the Game.
I'm feeling good. I'm excited for the opportunity. You know, I'm blessed. You know, I've been through a lot to get to this point, but, you know, I know that God's plan is always perfect, so I'm blessed for it. The call was exciting. You know, obviously, it's something that I've been dreaming of since I was a little kid, so for me to get that call, you know, it was definitely something special, not just for me, but for my family as well.
Michael Penix saying all the right things. He's a player that I've watched quite a bit play in college because I think many of you know, even though I'm went to the university, you know, I'm an Atlanta guy, obviously, but you know, high school in Lithonia and all that. But I ended up going to school at the University of Nebraska. And then my bride is an Indiana fan. And so I've been for, you know, 20 years watching Indiana football and basketball pretty intently because she's a big Hoosier. And that included the days of Michael Penix at IU, where when he first burst onto the scene as a Hoosier, when Kalen DeBoer, now head coach at Alabama, was the offense coordinator at Indiana. He had this young, vibrant guy who looked a lot like Michael Vick. I mean, running around, he was beating people with his feet. He beat Penn State. It was impossible to catch. And with a big, strong arm, he looked it was like mini Vick or a version of Vick. But he kept getting hurt. And so he goes to Washington, and they say, yeah, you know, let's dial down the whole running thing because you are going to get hurt here and make you. And he turned into a pocket passer. And turned into a guy who's throwing dimes all over the field. And boy, he throws a, if you haven't watched him play, Michael Penix has a, he's a special cat. You can't call this pick an F based on Michael Penix's talent. You just can't. He looks every bit the start of a starting quarterback in the NFL. And I'll guarantee the other five guys, the hardest part for Penix is going to be sitting on the bench. The other five guys are going to start, right? The other five quarterbacks taken. Obviously, you know, Williams and Jaden Daniels and Drake May and J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix are all going to start for their teams. Now, one or two of those guys is likely going to be a bust, right? I mean, this is the law of averages of all five of those guys coming in as rookies and being lights out are slim to none, right? So Penix will have the luxury of sitting back without the pressure on him, but also the difficulty of having to stand there and hold a, you know, surface, a Microsoft Surface, while another guy plays quarterback, because the only way Michael Penix impacts this team this year is if the $180 million quarterback gets hurt. And we don't want that because we spent so much money on him. We want him to be here for a long time. And we want this offense to hum around Kirk Cousins. So nobody root for him to get hurt. So this is the predicament that we're in. All right, 404-726-0929. Let's go to Dallas, who joins us. Hey, Dallas.
Hey, how you doing? I gotta say, I like the Penix pick, and for a lot of the reasons you're saying. I may be an optimistic Falcons fan. I may believe too much in the GM and everybody making decisions, but we've had pretty good drafts the past 3 years. I think with a competent QB, Pitts is top five tight end. Drake London, one of the most elite receivers in the league, in my opinion, and Bijan is Bijan. So the front office has done a good job, and I like the fact that we're going to have him sit for a little bit before he has to get out there and thrown in the fire like Bryce Young was this year. So I'm a fan of the pick. We addressed the D-line. And honestly, if we have Kirk Cousins last year, I think a lot of people would agree with me. We'd be a playoff team and probably win a playoff game. We don't have that many glaring needs, especially after taking Trice and Rook there. That's what I got to say.
Yeah, and you're getting Grady back, hopefully, at 100%. You're getting Troy Anderson back, hopefully, at 100%. And you get, at least to begin the year, you're going to be fairly healthy. And then we hear about upside, too, we have a belief that, you know, the sample size that we saw from Zach Harrison last year leads us to believe that he is going to be an effective edge guy and grow in that position. We certainly hope so, but of course we heard that about Dez. Well, the sample size we saw from Dez leads us to believe, and then we all bought into that. And what good did it do us? So hopefully Zach Harrison does continue to get better on one side of the ball. I mean, you're loaded at the edge. I appreciate the call, Dallas. I will say this about that edge spot. When you go to get Braylon Trice, which I'm fine and I'm good with, by the way, now I think you're loaded at that spot. I just did Calais Campbell, Bud Dupree. That's not going to happen anymore. Let's go get Trey Hendrickson. You've got six guys there. You know, I mean, you got Lil Carter, you got Ebba Cady, you got Trice, you got Zach Harrison, you got D'Angelo Malone. I mean, you've got a lot of guys there at the edge spot now, so let's focus in on the secondary, see what they can do in trying to help out a secondary that could use one to two starters. Now, again, we don't know what they know. They may say that DeMarco Helms is a starting safety in the NFL, and they believe that hit like Zach Harrison, his second year and his upside for a guy that took, what, in round seven, is going to be kind of eye-popping. You know, he's going to be kind of the new version of Foye Oluokun, super late pick who just really blossoms. And that's great. And if he does, hey, all good for us. And all the defense has to be is good, right? I mean, we all understand that. All the defense this year has to be for Jimmy Lake is good. If it's good, because this team is going to rise and fall on the production of that offense, okay? They're going to rise and fall. If this team is going to win the NFC South, if they are going to make the playoffs, if they are going to do anything in the playoffs, it's going to have to be the offense that leads them. They are an offense-first team. We all get that, correct? So, in that regard, you know, all right, fine, let's just kind of move forward and see what they've done. Now, I actually will argue that I'm a little bit more surprised at the Rukoruro pick because they traded up for him, only because, again, he just wasn't on my radar. But apparently, they know what they're talking about, and so they said, we're willing to trade out of a third-round pick to move way up to take him because they valued him as a first-round pick. Even though the experts, and again, this is why you have to be careful when you're watching the grades, the experts say, Steve is on with John. Hey, Steve, welcome to the show. That's why I want to know what you think and not what those experts think, because I don't trust them. Hey, Steve.
Yes, I'm just trying to call in.
Hey, you're on.
Oh, I'm on now?
Yes, you are.
Okay, yeah.
Put Steve on hold and have him turn his radio down for me, Noel. Because it's bugging me in the background. I tell him I'll get right back to him. Jermaine, and do turn your radio. Again, there's something called a delay. What you're hearing on the radio, I said like 30 seconds ago. this is the way it is. We did that. It's called Swamper Protect versus Swampers who come on and they're either drunk or they're cursing or, you know, they're Swampers. Do you want to go back to Steve? Or do you want to go
Hello?
To Jermaine Noel? Hey, who's this? Hey, Jermaine.
This is Jermaine. Hey, how you doing, John?
Good, man.
So, I'm not mad at it. You know, I think the quarterback is the most important position on the field, obviously. I don't even care, you know, if you have a dog on defense, defensive edge, whatever. I mean, if you don't have that quarterback, you're still not going to be able to, you know, go as far as you want. You know, I want to win now, but I also want to have a sustained winner. You know, I'm tired of feeling disrespected, as a fan of the Atlanta Falcons. I'm tired of the Atlanta Falcons being, you know, disrespected across the league and everything else. And I think Arthur Smith is too. You know, he wants the same. He wants to win now. But you know, one of his best buddies is Kraft from the Patriots. You know, and what the Patriots organization, even with everything that's going on now, they are a respected organization. You know, and that's what Arthur Blanks wants. You know, and I want that too. You know, and you think about Raheem, and you know, Raheem is like, hey, I have another chance at this. You know, I'm only going to go so far as my quarterback takes me. Let me ensure that you know we have a guy that's already going to be in place when Kirk Cousins' era ends. You know. And if he has to sit behind, you know, Kirk Cousins 3-4 years or whatever, I'm okay with that because he's learning. You know, there's too often that, you know, we expect for these quarterbacks to come in. They're young guys. Yeah, they may have excelled in college, but the NFL is a completely different game. You know, and then when you force them in there and they don't do well, you know, all of a sudden you want to just pick somebody else. Like, and then our defense, I think our defense is grossly – they don't get as much credit as they deserve. Has our defense been the best? No. But it wasn't drastically bad last year, you know. And a lot of the times, quite frankly, it was because of the position they were put in by the offense underperforming. So, again, I'm not mad at it. You know, I think, you know, Terry's been doing a great job. He's out here playing chess while everyone is playing checkers, you know. And I think down the line, everybody will appreciate, you know, his efforts.
I appreciate that phone call here. I no argument again on either side, no argument where Jermaine's points here. I will say you can play chess and checkers all you want, but unless you start winning games, they're going to kick you off the table. So you can plan for the future all you want if you're Raheem or Terry Fontenot, but you're not going to be here in 3 years if you don't start winning. Now. Quick break, your reaction here. John Fricke on a very interesting morning here. Again, final day of the NFL draft, Saturday morning with you till noon when we go to live coverage with Squid and Mike Johnson on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Steve, call back in. Bob, on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.
When you get Kirk Cousins and you talk about short-term winning, you talk about winning right now, which we know we're going to be in a position to do, which we want to be in a position to do, we won't have the ability to be picking this high again with the guy that we got. And these guys go off the board pretty quickly, and we thought it would be important for us to address our future quarterback right now while we're picking this low in these moments and to be able to move forward.
You know, that is an argument in favor of it. There's no question that if the Falcons are good, that, you know, they'll be picking in the 20s or later in the next couple of years. There's also the issue of, you know, what's the penalty for this bogus piece of junk about, oh, you texted Kirk on the sly before you signed him. No, oh, we're going to slap you down. Okay. You know, what you mean we did legal tampering before legal tampering? Oh, okay. All right. You know, I mean, it's like Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back. Oh, you mean it wasn't that big a deal back then? Okay. But anyway, there is that penalty apparently that's coming to the Atlanta Falcons, and it could be fierce. I don't know. Beats the hell out of me. We'll find out what they get penalized for illegally tampering prior to the legal tampering period for Kirk Cousins. So there's that. I wouldn't think they're taking a first-round pick, but even then, you know, you're looking at a situation where the Falcons aren't going to be in a position to take a quarterback high in the draft if they're good. So that's another case to be made for taking the quarterback. Now, let's just, as we get to your calls, let's just rework this and kind of ramp it back to 4 months ago today. 4 months ago today, it's a couple of days after Christmas. We're heading into the final stretch there, and we're having conversations on the air about, is Arthur Smith in or out? What's going to happen? You know, we're starting to look to the offseason, right? If I had told you 4 months later, if I had been on the air on December 27th and said to you, hey, 4 months from today, I'm going to be having a conversation with you about head coach Raheem Morris and our quarterback room of Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix, would you have taken it? Because I would have... I don't know about you, but I would. Yes. Yes. We go from noodle arm quitter DoorDash Dez 2 years ago to Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix. Okay. I'm good with that. Now, I understand parades over prospects too. And I want to hear your, for Bleacher Report to come out and say, this is an F. You know, I mean, it's not an F. It's just not an F. Let's go to Kevin. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the show. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing great. How you doing, John?
Good.
I think that they made a very smart move on that. Now, everybody wanted maybe an edge rusher on it. But I don't think there was no defense picked from anywhere in close to eight. Everybody went offense. And then all of a sudden, way down, they went defense. So I really don't see a point of that. Now, does Atlanta still have Taylor Heinicke on the roster?
Yes.
Well, I think they're going to cut him or trade him and save some money to maybe sign somebody.
Well, they've already, Kevin, they've already, and I appreciate the call, Kevin, thanks. They've already redone his contract to create a little bit more room. I can see where, you know, they might want to keep him this year. It'll be interesting to see what they do moving forward. They could cut him and more. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see because he is a veteran. So if you want a veteran to back up Kirk Cousins for now in the short term for this year, you know, and not have to rush Michael Penix out there, again, you don't ever want to start to think about bad karma to me to start. Well, if Kirk Cousins gets hurt again, okay. That's bad karma. Well, if Kirk Cousins isn't ready, I think he's going to be ready. They wouldn't have paid him all this money if he wasn't going to be ready. So this whole thing about him not being ready is just not true. So the he would never have said, yeah, we'll give you guaranteed money. Well, is he going to be ready? I don't know. We'll still give him. That's not the way it works. Okay, it's just not. You know, he's doctors looking at him. Yeah, he's going to be fine. Okay, good. He's already fine. He's going to be fine. Yeah, good. Got it. Let's go. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. I'm not. If we're sitting here having a conversation about the emergency quarterback on this team, maybe that's a pretty good sign. I just guess here. Let's go to Eddie. Eddie's on with John. Hey, Eddie, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. So to answer your question about a few months ago, I absolutely would have taken that. I will be honest though. When the pick came down, I was surprised and probably pretty angry about it. Given a day or so to step away from it, I feel a little bit better at it for a few reasons. One, my opinion, not to knock Kirk Cousins, I'm glad he's here. I'm not one of these people that didn't want him, but I felt from the beginning getting him here takes Atlanta from a not playoff team to a playoff team, but I don't think it gets us much further. And I don't know that the pass rush was going to be fixed by whatever rookie you could get at that spot in the first place. So, honestly, I don't know how much difference you've made negatively, but having a quarterback for the future could be a good thing. However, I do feel like given the resources that you just spent, both paying Kirk Cousins and drafting Michael Penix that high, you better be really right about Michael Penix. Like, he better be a top five quarterback for the entirety of his career. This pick is a bust, in my opinion. And that may be harsh, but that's just how I feel.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, anytime you take a quarterback that high, but that's true of the other five guys, too. I mean, it's true of Bo Nix, of J.J. McCarthy, of Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. As it was true of, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, and of Zach Wilson and Trey Lance and Mac Jones. So, again, a couple of those guys are probably going to be busts. Oh, no, John, you didn't watch him in college. Did you see Mac Jones in college? You think Mac Jones is a hit? Did anybody think Mac Jones is a hit? You know, I think the jury's out on Bryce Young. I just think he's on a bad team. You know, I wouldn't discount him. You know, people are automatically, they're calling him Kyler Murray. You know, you can't know. I mean, Kyler Murray did kind of beat us. Anyway, and Bryce Young beat us too. So, there you go. It's hard to know here. I do know that he doesn't have the pressure of having to start right away. And so I agree with it. Again, it's just not an F here. The bigger issue to me, Michael, and I'm kind of curious, I'd like you to since you have offered it up, Rucaroro was not on my radar, and they traded up to get him. I'm not saying they're wrong, by the way. I mean, he's an interior defensive lineman. You're going to put him with Onyemata. You're going to put him with Grady Jarrett's going to be back, you know, kind of in the interior of that line. Now you take Juan Graham, you know, Eddie Coleman version 5, whatever that is, Street. And that's going to be the interior of your line. And we don't know what Jimmy Lake is going to do. But isn't there more pressure on the fact that you traded up to get a guy that you're going to have an immediate contribution from and eyes are going to be on Rook as opposed to Penix?
So what I'm counting on, I don't think pass rushers as rookies generally make that huge of a difference, especially counting on a second or third round guy to do that. What I'm hoping is that the difference this year is going to be the fact that Troy Anderson is going to be healthy and you're not going to have to drop Caden Ellis in the coverage as much, because he was kind of who you were counting on to make the difference last year with the numbers he put up with the Saints the year before. So
yeah, no, and
I think those rookies...
Yeah, that's a great point. I got a loaded phone line, so I want to get a lot of people in here. And I got to take a break here coming up here, too. And I appreciate it, Michael. Yeah, Rook, just so that we're clear, I think Rook Arroro is an inside guy, okay? I mean, I know that he went from, you know, zero all the way out to nine, which is the, you know, right over the center all the way out to the edge when he was at Clemson. I think they view him as an interior guy, which is more like between, without numbers, center, guard, you know, and not outside the guard. And you can now have a luxury here too if you're Jimmy Lake, depending if you're playing a 3-4 or a hybrid of sorts, in, you know, having more depth to rotate back in, with Trice on one side and Zach Harrison on the other. If you want to make if you believe that Landman and Ellis can play, you could take Anderson, for example, or Ellis, but Anderson is a little bit bigger, and you could put him out on a nine technique. You know, you can line him up at the wide slot. But you already have, again, you have, is Abbott Cady taking the next step? Is D'Angelo Malone going to have an impact? Are you giving up on, or how are you working with Adi Ogundeji? Where does Lo Carter fit into all this? They have a lot of bodies, all right, on the interior defensive line. I'm just saying that Rook, trading up for Rook, because you're going to grade Michael Penix not just on his own, right? Eventually, you'll grade him against the other quarterbacks that were taken, correct? I mean, you'll grade him against Bo Nix. We're talking 4 or 5 years from now. You'll grade him against J.J. McCarthy, against Caleb Williams, against Jaden Daniels, against Drake May. You'll grade him against Spencer Rattler, right? You'll grade him as you look back on this draft 4 or 5 years from now, how does he grade versus those guys from 4 or 5 years ago when you redo the draft, so to speak? Well, the same is true of Rook. I mean, you're going to say, all right, how does Rook, they traded up to get ahead of that run of 8 defensive tackles in round 2. Did they make the right choice here in Rook Arroro over a Tavondre Sweat, for example, over a Chris Jenkins? Did they make the right move there? So I think there's a little bit more on Rook to come in and be an immediate impact player because he's going to play, and he's going to play quite a bit. So, you know, and they've traded up, you know, to get guys here, you know, in the recent past. Most notably, they traded up to get Bergeron. And when they traded up to get Bergeron, he solved the issue at left guard. But isn't that the case of what we're talking about? Bergeron apparently has solved this never-ending festering sore of a problem at left guard to the point where you can look at the interior of the offensive line of the Atlanta Falcons of Bergeron, Dolman, and Lindstrom, of those three guys, and say that's one of the three best, when we're talking about those three guys, in the entire NFL. You know, Dolman's a really good center, and Lindstrom's just the best guard in the game, and Bergeron looks like he's about to blow up into an all-pro guard. And so, okay, finally, at a time where we have another festering sore, which is the cornerback opposite A.J. Terrell. And anybody you draft today is going to compete for the job. They're not coming. They ain't nobody, no T.J. Tampa, nobody. You're drafting today. If you're drafting a cornerback, here's the job. No, you're going to have to compete out on the field. You're not going to be signing this guy. That's why I thought Quinion Mitchell, okay, we're going to get Quinion Mitchell. We're going to plug and play. There's no plug and play guy. Okay, maybe there is, maybe we get lucky, but there's no plug-and-play guy at the festering sore of another spot, which has been a trouble spot for them, which is that other corner. Now, again, you can go into the in-depth, and I'm sure Mike and Squibb will talk about this, about how you can make your secondary look good by having a better pass rush. And, you know, Trice, apparently they valued Trice, because he's a Jimmy Lake guy, he played for him at Washington, on a level at least equal to Latu and Turner. And they went, you guys don't know what we know. We think that Trice is equal to. We have Trice higher on the board. You know, what if I told you that Braylon Trice was higher on their board than Dallas Turner? And their guy got, they're going, eh, you know what? Nobody knows. So maybe they're too smart by half, and we just don't understand it because we haven't seen their, again, I always said, leading up to the draft, we can't see their board. And now we know what was on their board. Caleb Williams 1 through 600, right? Caleb Williams 1, Michael Penix Jr. 2. And they went, yep, he's 2. It's just Bijan Robinson all over again. It's Kyle Pitts all over again. He's 2. We're staying true. That's their draft philosophy, and they stayed true to it. Let's go to, who's next? Richard? Is that correct, Noel? Miss Noel? Okay, let's go to Michael. Hello, Michael.
This is Richard.
It's always fun. It's all good. Hey, Richard, how you doing?
Yeah, this is Richard.
Yeah, what up?
Hey, I really like the Penix pick. I think they made a marvelous decision because, obviously, I don't think he's NFL ready, you know, at the beginning of the season like Caleb Williams is. But there's a difference between him and Ritter, which your analyst from 10 o'clock, you know, he's kind of equivalent to, oh, look who they picked in Ritter. Ritter couldn't read NFL defenses. He didn't understand why he had to stay in the pocket. Remember when he said, why do I have to stay in the pocket to read NFL defenses? When did Michael Vick learn to read NFL defenses? When the Eagles forced him to stay in the pocket. But Ritter wasn't, honestly, smart enough to know that. He just wasn't smart enough to know that. He thought with his legs, like Michael Vick did, before his head. And Michael Vick could get away with it because of his extraordinary athletic ability. Matt Ryan was successful because he sees the game in his head. And I want to say this. I didn't know Penix very well, but I watched more film than I can shake a stick at Penix. He sees the game in his head. But he's still not NFL ready. I don't have a problem with the fact that he'll sit for a year. Your analyst also criticized you for saying, oh, look, Darryl Love was drafted in the third round. And, you know, you used the first round. Well, what happened in 2017 with the 10th pick in the draft? What quarterback was chosen and sat for a year? The best quarterback in the NFL right now, Mahomes.
Well, yeah, Aaron Rodgers sat for 3 years behind Brett Favre.
I don't have a problem with it.
I appreciate the call. I got to get to a break here. Sorry, Richard, we're up against a hard break here. Yeah, define NFL ready. I think you can make an argument that next to Caleb Williams, the Falcons would tell you that Michael Penix is the most NFL ready. That, again, it's not about seeing the field. It's about processing. And that's why when Raheem Morris said elite processor, I went, oh, they're going to get Kirk Cousins. They wouldn't have drafted Michael Penix if Michael Penix wasn't a processor. Just keep that in mind, right? If he was a troubled child who couldn't process, they wouldn't have drafted him. They certainly wouldn't have drafted him knowing the outcry here. So they have to believe that he's a processor in working towards being an elite processor. Quick break as we continue with more of your reaction for the next hour leading to our coverage of rounds 4 through 7 with Squid and Mike Johnson coming up at noon on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.